two questions I had about this, your physical devices. From the time that you started to now, you've gone through kind of a evolution of the technology of the external processor of the cochlear implant, where it used to be kind of big and clunky and they keep getting smaller and smaller. And now they connect to technology like iPhones and other Bluetooth devices with accessories. So as part of your experience, how has it been to see the technology evolve so that it can incorporate into your life in different ways?
I always joke, I'm like, when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to have better hearing than anybody, and the technology is going to be insane. So I'm almost like relieved I'm deaf now, and then I'll have all this like access to amazing technology later. But no, it's amazing because we started when the processor was a full-on fanny pack. Mm-hmm. And then we've run from the fanny pack up to your processor. And just what a hassle that was, like trying to play, the amount of times I would get in the bathtub because I always just thought it was like part of my body. Like, okay, I need this to hear, not realizing it can't get wet. And then we graduated to the one on the ear. It was still really big. And then this one honestly just hides right behind my ear. And then, like you said, all the technology, like the Bluetooth, because when I was younger, the teachers would still have to wear like the
FM system. Yeah.
FM system. Yeah. They would have to go around your neck. I would have to have like a little device on my desk, and then the transcribing, like a clunky laptop from the 90s, and it's all on your phone. And so yeah, I mean, the technology is honestly amazing. I always say I'm looking forward to the day where they could potentially explore having it all be inside the head, internal. I'm like, that would just, I don't know how batteries and stuff would work with that, but I'm just like, just to not even like think about it falling off or swimming. That will be the best day of my life if they ever announce that technology. I don't know if it's possible, but.
We've had a few people turn down having CI surgery because they don't want to wear an external piece, either for vanity reasons or they're afraid to lose it. But they're making the active choice not to improve hearing because of the external piece. So we're on board with the internal growth.
You honestly forget it's there. Like, it is like so skinny at this point. I mean, like, it's the same color as my hair. You can't even see it. So that's unfortunate that that's a reason. I mean, I think it's like glasses. I mean, they're annoying when you put them on, but you'll forget that they're there after a month or two or even a week. So
right, it's become so tiny, and as you said, it becomes routine.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think my favorite line in the entire book was your analogy about the fruit bowl, that like turn on a cochlear implant for the first time, it's like a blind person who opens their eyes and sees this bowl of fruit and has to identify which one is an apple. It's practically impossible. That was my favorite line. So a common misconception we get is that when you put on a cochlear implant, you can have basically, it restores normal hearing. So how have you been able to kind of convey to people when you're advocating for yourself that just because you wear a cochlear implant does not mean that your hearing is normal?
Yeah, that's still a battle literally every single day. And even people that have been in my circle for a while, it's just a hard concept, I think, for some people just to wrap their head around. And I just try to explain it in the sense of, so like for me, my sight, it comes naturally, like their hearing comes naturally for them. So they're able to pick up things, like the fridge, for example, like if there's beeping coming from the fridge, I think they're able to have that kind of innate problem solving of, okay, I know that's the fridge beeping because it's coming from that direction, so forth, where my sister and I, we've had to learn every single sound and every single syllable. And it's a constant exercise every single day, even though I have it. Like before the meeting, there was some noise and I'm like, what is that? It was the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And it runs every single day. But it was one of those things where I had to sit there and I'm like, I have no idea where this sound is coming from. I don't know if it's coming from the left, the right, the ceiling. And then I'm like, okay, what did my husband Noah, okay, he was cleaning the kitchen. Okay, so it's probably the dishwasher. So it's just a constant working to identify sounds because it doesn't come naturally to us. So I just try to tell them, like, my brain is working in overdrive, just trying to keep up with what comes naturally for you guys. So That's why I love my listening breaks and I can just take it off because it truly is, it still works, even after all these years. So I don't know if that kind of answers the
Yes.
question. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so you just mentioned your husband. Congratulations on your recent marriage. How has it been for him now to kind of be immersed in this world? And you've had some posts recently of like, oh, I forgot my charger. He's so good about it. And that he now is seeing day to day what this is for you. How has that been for him?
Yeah, so I think for him, I was pretty lucky that he, well, one is a nurse, and then I think two, he is just a very curious kind of individual. So he loves learning kind of other people's perspectives. So it's been really interesting for him to kind of see, because he knew I was deaf when we first started dating, but I think just to truly live with someone that's deaf and see all the small things, I think it was kind of eye-opening for him in the sense of, while you're not just saying those things, like you actually have to work really hard every single day. And you have all these small things like I have to remember to bring my battery. If it dies, how do I adapt? And how do I communicate with you when you don't have your processor on? But he said something the other day that was really interesting. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was something like, sometimes I might be frustrated that I have to repeat something two, three times. But then the minute that I put myself in your shoes and I'm like, wait, but you have to work that hard with every little thing. That's a one cent a few cent seconds for me, but it's all day for you. And I'm like, if only more people had that like realization, okay, it might be a small inconvenience for me to have to repeat something, but it's like a lifetime of inconvenience for you trying to adapt in a hearing world. So that was a very good thing that he realized that. I'm like, okay, that does make my life a little easier. But yeah, if only more people, I think, just had either exposure or took the time to really just understand someone's perspective that has a disability, I think that would just help a lot of kind of issues and so forth of just people not being accommodating.
For sure. Is he in a specific area of nursing?
He was a ICU trauma.
Okay.
So he didn't do much with like hearing loss and stuff.
Yeah.
So he learned a lot.
Yeah.
You said that audiologists wear a lot of hats. One of the hats that I think we wear is we're part marriage counselors because we see a lot of spouses that come in for appointments and they're way more frustrated than the actual patient coming in with hearing loss because they have to repeat all day, but they're not necessarily in the patient's shoes and vice versa. The person who might not know what they're missing in terms of their hearing doesn't recognize what their spouse is going through with having to repeat all day.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%.
Is there anything else that you would like people to know about your experience, about the book, about navigating the world with hearing loss?
That's a really good question. I mean, I always preach just kind of on my page, just how people can be more accommodating, I think, on an everyday basis. But really, I think just the biggest goal is, just educating yourself. So whether that's reading The Deaf Girl or that's following certain deaf creators or when they come in for appointments with audiologists or the doctor, be proactive with your questions, just because, I think a lot of issues that happen around CIs and hearing loss and kind of, people talk about kind of the division between the deaf communities and so forth. I think that just comes from it's such a new thing and people sometimes just don't know how to act around something they don't know. And it falls on us, just the burden of having to educate them or correct them if they whatever, get off path and so forth. So if people can just continue to do their own education, I think not only does it make my life easier, but the likelihood that they're going to have their own experience with somebody with hearing loss is such a common disability. I mean, just the likelihood that you're going to come across someone that's deaf, why not be prepared for that? So it's just, doing your own education for sure.
And you already have a huge following, but let everybody know where they can find you, where they can get the book, The Deaf Girl, and we want to make sure you're getting all the support that you need. And people should read this book because one thing I wanted to mention is the way you reference audiology within the book to struck me as really spot on that a lot of times maybe things are lost in translation of what happened in an appointment or whatnot, but the way that you relayed what your mother's experience was and what your experience was, it was so accurate to what actually happens in appointments that also there's so much value for people who are starting this journey or suspecting that there might be some hearing loss in the family, that there's a lot of really good things in that book for people. So I've actually thought about, like, hey, when we have a new activation, we should be giving this to people because it's that valuable in terms of the way you describe things in a really accurate way. So I appreciated that.
Well, thank you. That was definitely one of the biggest goals. And you guys are actually the first audiologist I've done a podcast with. And so just the questions and everything is just very interesting, but really, really appreciate that. And that was something we wanted to give all the credit to the audiologists just because I don't think they get the recognition that they deserve. I mean, they are just such big players in the CI journey. And so that was just something we wanted to, you know, acknowledge in the Deaf Girl. And yeah, so you guys can find me on Instagram. I'm working on updating the username. So it's still Abigail_Herringer. Right now, that's my maiden name. And the Deaf Girl is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Yeah, I think that's all the places.
If you don't mind, I'm just curious. I watched your journey on The Bachelor. Out of the two of us, I'm the Bachelor fan.
Oh my gosh, love it.
How was your wedding?
It was so fun. It was, I'm still like speechless over it. It was just so much fun. It was perfect weather, the people, Noah, like just, we did it. We did it. We got married. And I was just so happy with how I went.
Awesome. Well, Abigail Herringer Erb, thank you so much for your time and joining us on the Hear Us Out podcast. We really appreciate it.